I have a question about our hypothetical two-page notebook.
If only we could take our love of reading to a new level!
Well, I've always wanted to start a book club.
Book club!
For
masochists and other deviants.
Hello and welcome to the Book Club for Masochists, where we read and discuss all the genres and types of literature, regardless of our actual interest in them.
Every month, we read books from a new, randomly picked genre. Then on the podcast, we discuss our reading choices, experiences, opinions, appeal factors, and other related topics as friends and library workers.
In this, episode number 144, we will be discussing what is a book?
I feel like we should have discussed this maybe right at the beginning.
Episode one.
I mean, we started with genres, not books, so like...
It's true.
We should have probably had the what is a genre conversation, actually.
Oh no.
Oh no. Frankly, that's even scarier to me than what is a book, and what is a book is like, we haven't set ourselves an easy task here.
Absolutely. My name is RJ. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, BC.
My name is Matthew. I'm a librarian in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, as well.
Which is located on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Stolo people.
My name is Anna. I'm a librarian in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, which is located on the traditional homelands of the Nuuvi Southern Paiute people, including the Las Vegas Paiute Tribe and the Moapa Band of Paiutes.
My name is Megan. I'm an archivist in the National Capital Region of Canada, which is also the unceded traditional territory of the Algonquin Anishinaabeg. Announcements!
Number one, go and listen to our previous episode, especially if this is your first one. Go and listen to Amish Romance. It was a great episode. It's very long, but it was a good discussion. I want people to listen to that one, even though I suffered for it, so you please listen to it.
That's actually why, not even though.
Yeah, that's why. And also, check out the Just Plain Wrong podcast. That was we had Tilly from that as a guest on it. It is a podcast of a group of Mennonite librarians, who review media about Amish, Mennonite, and other plain, folks, if I believe that is the terminology. Does anyone else remember? I've seen nodding. Okay. So great. Thanks for nodding on this podcast. Next, I was recently on panel. I was on a panel at the Ontario Library Association conference where I moderated. It's called Podcasters Panel, A Glimpse Behind the Microphone. It had some other really great people on it. I think it's still available to watch online on the Ontario Library Association conference website. If not, I'm hoping it'll be available somewhere. So maybe in the future, maybe next episode, I'll be telling you where to, no, next episode, I will tell you where to download it, I guess, or I've edited this out. And then also I was on an episode of Downtime with Cranston Public Library talking about video games, which included a discussion of what is a video game. So relevant to this topic. Final announcement from me is that a bunch of zines I helped, I put together in the Two-Fisted Library Stories series, are now for some reason in the Library of Congress online digital collection. And so you can go, and like they were available in other places to read before, but you can go and read a bunch of them there now if you want to.
Fun.
It's the only place you can read spicy library stories online.
The only place.
I didn't put that issue online anywhere else because I thought...
I think the trick is that you didn't specify that's an issue of the zine as opposed to just a thing that exists in the world. There's lots of spicy library stories out there online.
I was implying there are many spicy library stories available on the internet.
Obviously, everyone knows the name of all my zines, RJ. What are you talking about? Also, we are no longer on Spotify, or this will be our last episode on Spotify for a variety of reasons that you can look up and find out on the internet. Also, it's soon going to be our 150th episode, so please let us know what you would like to see in that episode if you have any ideas for us.
Another announcement is that we have, I mean, as with every episode, this episode we've got a book list of books by authors of color, and for this one, since this is not a genre episode, it is a retroactive book list of a genre we've done before, and it is coming-of-age books by Black, Indigenous, and people of color authors, and it's going to be a long one. There was a lot of these available, and including some really great ones. So I tried to get some classics on the list as well as some new stuff. So check those out in our show notes and on our website, bookclub4m.com.
I think that was the first episode we recorded in Las Vegas, the original coming of age one.
Gosh, it's lost in the memories of time.
Who knows? It was around that time that we moved.
We'd have to go back and listen to where we said we were, the beginning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is like our little history of when we were where, is by like how we introduced.
What genre were we reading for the podcast?
Yeah.
It came out January 17th, so it's very possible.
Yeah, we probably were here.
Yeah. I just remember trying to read Wizard of Earthsea while you were driving us back from Alaska.
You can read in the car, Matthew?
Depends on the situation. On that one, not so much because I had to entertain Anna.
Yeah. As I drove us all the way from Fairbanks, Alaska to Vancouver and then from there to Las Vegas, yes.
Yeah, if I just sat there not talking to Anna, I think she would have had every right to be upset at me.
Should have gotten like the books on tape version or CD.
Except for he did get, I mean, it was in the winter in the far north, so like it's dark most of the time. So he would just sort of like drift off once in a while, because I mean, you're just driving in the car. It's cozy. It's like dark.
Yeah.
It's like, this is fine.
Speaking of audiobooks.
Yes. Okay. Moving to the topic.
Books in all their various forms. We're talking today about what is a book. And it's a big question. It's a big, somewhat existential question. And so I devised a little game to help us narrow it down and to guide our conversation a little. So I've got a list of questions, different things that may or may not be books. So we're going to play book or not a book. And some of these will be easy, I think. Some of them will generate some conversation. But we're going to try to get through this whole long list that we made together.
Can I say first is, like, whenever you see like list of like best books of the year and stuff, it is generally always like fiction and certain types of nonfiction. I never see someone putting like a book of crosswords on their best book of the year list. When that could be the best, like one of their favorite books that they like, is reading even the term you use for something like that though? Like,
yeah.
No, you don't read a puzzle book. You don't read the Sudoku. You do the Sudoku.
But do you read a book of photos?
Do you have to read it for it to be a book?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
You're hitting on my pet peeve right here, is that there's a conflation between book as object and book as container of story. Series of text, which has only been a problem since we started to have ebooks and audiobooks and whatever. But let's go into your book or not a book. And
yes, I think we will address some of these concerns through this game.
Matthew wants to go into the existential conversation first, and we want to like break it out into bits.
Like, do you know me? Of course I do.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
So if there is an object and there's only one handmade copy of an object with bound pages containing text and or illustrations, is it a book?
Yes, that is a book.
Depends on how many pages.
Okay, I've got one yes, it's a book. One depends on how many pages. What do you say, Anna?
I say yes, it is a book.
Okay, I also think yes, it is a book. But to Matthew's previous point, not a book that would appear on the like end of year best books.
It is sort of recognizable as a book on an individual experiential basis as opposed to on a like collective understanding, like collective awareness basis. Yeah.
If it was on the table and you pointed to it and you said, what is that? Someone would say, that's a book.
Yeah.
Not if it had two pages.
If it only has two. Yeah. The next question is, if it only has two pages, is it a book?
No.
It's a pamphlet.
It's got a cover. It's bound. It's got text and illustrations. It's only two pages. Is it a book?
I don't think so. Okay. By pages, do we mean like literally it's one sheet of paper with one on one side and two on the other? Or is it like two pieces of paper?
Two pieces of page inside of a bound cover?
I was imagining two separate pages.
What if they're like folded up so you can pull them out and it goes on for really far? Like it's a really...
if it's scrolls.
Yeah, it's kind of scrolls that have just been folded into it, but there's really only two pages that you just unfold out of it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Just unroll.
Yeah.
There are texts that's how you open it. It's like there are accordions that you unfold. And so there's multiple pages. They're just not attached the same way. So it's not really two pages. The scroll is an even more interesting idea, but...
I was going to say, I could have put on this list that didn't include, is Chris Ware's Building Stories a book? And if you've never seen that, that is like a huge box. It is like a nightmare as a librarian to like find a place to put it because it is a book like the size of a small coffee table that's full of different like, you know, foldable different parts that you can read in different orders and like are arranged in creative ways.
Someone unfolded that during my comic book club. And in my head, I was just like, how would you check that out of a library? How would you do it? There's like 17 pieces to it. They're all loose. They're all in a box. Like, this is the reason why you don't lend out board games unless you're not all together that worried about losing pieces because...
You weigh the box, Megan, when it comes back.
Oh, you're right. That's how they do it in archives, too.
Make sure you haven't stolen anything or snuck anything into the box, I guess. It becomes just like Indiana Jones then. It's just like, I can remove this thing, but I have to replace it with something identical weight.
There's a movie scene where there's a character and a scale and they're like adding grams of weight to the box so they can steal some piece of it anyway.
I have a question about our hypothetical two-page not book. If the two pages are full of very, very, very tiny text that like contains the entire text of like Moby Dick.
And they're very large pages. Very large pages.
Is that a book?
Oh my gosh.
I think it's a piece of art.
But there's art books.
I don't think anyone is making that as anything that is it's not intended to be a book, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's intended to be something that people look at.
Intended use case sounds like it might be a factor.
Because I'm also imagining, like, if you microfilm a book... so that it's a strip of film. It's the content of the book, but the container is no longer the book, no longer a book. It is now a microfilm.
Yeah.
So there's there's like my object versus content problem again.
Yeah. Is a book an object or a content?
Speaking of, our next question is... If this object with bound pages contains only 100 completely blank pages, but there is a credited title, author, publisher, and copyright date, is it a book?
Yes.
What if it doesn't have the copyright pages? I think it's still a book then. It's just like it's like a notebook is a book. A diary with nothing in it is a book.
Mm-hmm. Book with content in potentia. Mm-hmm.
I feel like I asked this particular question because I have seen this, like a completely blank page or a completely blank book, like by untitled by anonymous, but like put out by a publisher and like has a copyright date and like is, you know, in the same way that there is that like, I don't remember who it is that published the song, but it's just like 7 minutes of silence, but that's like the intended content of the song. I think it is a book. It is an art book. In this case, I think it is both.
Yes.
Is a personal diary a book?
Yes.
Does a diary have to be one book? Have to be in a bound thing, or could a diary be written on random pieces of paper and shoved into a drawer?
I was gonna say, if it's just written on like receipts and napkins and loose leaf paper, is it still a book?
Or live journal.
I was going to say, because like I haven't used a bound journal in ages, but periodically I've kept a on-running Google document as a journal.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting. I was thinking explicitly of a diary as an object, like with a little lock and a key you keep under your bed.
Right, totally. Under your pillow, yes.
No key, no book, obviously.
Well, no key, no diary. Then it's just a notebook. And then also there are like some published diaries as well, which would fall into.
Yeah, I don't think this is on the list, but I was wondering about a series of letters, like correspondence between two people.
Hmm, Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which sometimes you do get like the collected letters of so-and-so or like a correspondence between multiple people. And I'm like, when does that become a book? And I'm like, it only becomes a book when someone publishes it as a book in my mind.
When someone collects it and turns it into a book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before that, it's just memorabilia and
ephemera. So everything is a book in potentia.
Okay, I'm going to add a maybe. I've started writing in what our answers are to these. So we have, if it's just one handmade copy, yes. If it only has two pages, I wrote mostly no. Blank pages, yes. Personal diary, yes, maybe. So the next one is a subscription magazine a book?
Define subscription magazine.
It's a periodical.
Yeah, it's a periodical. That is asking me to do like the concept of the episode, but just for magazines.
So I'm going to say no, not unless it's collected and bound.
I think it depends again. I think there are science fiction magazine anthologies that are just hundreds of pages of prose every month that are like indistinguishable from a book.
Yeah, that's true. I have like a special issue of Lightspeed Magazine that is just like, it's a book of short stories. But
it's soft bound.
Yeah, soft bound. Though I don't think every issue of every magazine is a book. So this might be an it depends.
That sounds like a good depends. I hadn't thought of anthologies like that. I was thinking of like Scientific America and
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like Highlights. magazines tend to come out in like volumes. And so they are in some ways a piece of a whole. And as Megan was saying, like when they are collected, they're more booky.
Booky. Yeah.
Can I just admit that I'm the person sitting here who is like, they're all books.
That's a valid position. You can say that. I was going back and forth whether I was going to be like, nothing is a book except for this single one. And everything is a book. Because why are we gatekeeping?
Anna also being the only one of us with like three bookshelves of books in frame in the video with it.
Just in frame in the video right now and sitting next to multiple more.
You can't see all my books because they're on the floor.
I'm also sitting right next to, you can't see it on the other side, actually it'd be too hard to turn this, but I'm sitting next to a big bin full of journals, of some of them partially filled out, some of them not, and a bunch of zines, and all our collection of magazines are literally sitting on the bookshelf next to me over here just off screen. So like I literally have like every example we've talked about so far sitting next to me on the shelf.
Nice.
You have Moby Dick printed in tiny print on two pages.
Not yet, but I'm sure I'll have it someday.
We've got a lot more examples to try out, but I will say there is sort of a I don't know what word I'm looking for, a thing to this where we're treating book as if it is an exclusive category, where you either are a book or you aren't a book, when it's really kind of wiggly.
As we're seeing.
It is more of a proximity definition than a exclusivity definition, which if you don't have not heard that before, I just remember in library school talking about this, about people like listing an example of a bird and determining that some birds were way more birdy than other birds. And other, like, you know, an ostrich is a bird, but it's not like a bird the way that like a robin is like a bird. Like if you think of a bird, you're more likely to think of a robin than an ostrich. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, I think some of the things on this list are going to be robins and some of the things on this list are going to be ostriches.
I was totally waiting for this part of the conversation to happen because I was like, every single person who has been to library school has had the class in which they have the discussion where they define, is this, I don't know, soup or is it not? Is it salad or is it not? Is it a bird or is it not? And every single person who's ever been to a library program has had an experience, a version of this discussion. So yeah, we all have our versions of this.
And we just wanted to do it again.
Yeah, let's just do it again.
Is alphabet soup a book?
Ooh. Okay, this one I actually like.
I'm adding it to the list. I'm going to go with no, actually.
I like the idea that there's like that cooking it like takes away from its bookness. Mm-hmm. Like when it's just mm-hmm. when it's just the pasta shaped letters.
Right, the pasta itself when it's dry.
Yeah, that's a book. But when it's cooked, it's no longer a book.
It's kind of like having a can full of little cutout paper characters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put them together in exactly the right way, it would, you know, spell out a Shakespeare play.
It's like magnetic poetry.
Is a bag of Scrabble letters a book?
So now we're on to that story by Borges about like the Library of Babel.
Yeah.
And like are all of those books, which I believe they are called books in the Library of Babel, right? They're all books.
But they're bound. But it's not just here's a pile of letters.
I know, but like that's basically what we're coming to it to some degree, because it's just they are bound piles of letters. They're just piles of letters though.
I guess the thing is like you could very easily like you can just have random letters in an e-doc, like a document on a computer. And like, at what point does that become a book?
Mm-hmm. I just wrote, I added is alphabet soup a book and is a bag of Scrabble letters a book to the list. And I just wrote, maybe.
I feel our listeners have either already turned this episode off or like are love every second of this. So
I hope it's the latter. I hope they're having fun. This is meant to be a fun. This is meant to gamify a challenging conversation. Yeah. So I hope they're enjoying it. Is a single issue comic book a book?
So this is one that I think is really interesting to think about in terms of what it means to be a single issue comic book and what it means to be a quote unquote graphic novel. So I look at comics from Europe, from the Franco-Belgian bande dessinée area, and you can get those. It's like, how many pages does like an Asterix the Gaul comic have? Megan, I hope you're like leaning over to pick one up right now to tell me exactly.
I have to like stretch a little bit.
But it's like 40 something pages.
So I don't have Asterix and Obelix. I just have something called Super Crash.
Okay.
And it has 62 pages.
62. But so I looked up the first Asterix the Gaul book and it says 48 pages. And that's including the non-comic pages as well, I'd assume. But there are single issue comic books that are longer than that. You have single issue like superhero comics and stuff that can be 64, even 96 pages in some cases. But those ones are like really stretching like what counts where the line is. And it like for those, it kind of comes down to like there's the like, is it stapled versus is it square bound? But also like what's the cover stock? You know, are there ads in it? If it has ads in it, can it be considered a graphic novel? Like if it has ads that are not for other titles, can it be considered a graphic novel?
This is way more of an edge case than I thought it would be. I was thinking just like stapled, I don't know, max 20 pages.
So like your standard American, like North American comic book is 32 pages traditionally, 32 pages plus cover traditionally. So 36 pages. But like I said, you get annuals, you get anniversary issues, all of those that have higher page counts, but I would never count those as graphic novels or books because they're designed to be a single issue. But then I look at the European stuff and they're like, but the secondary issue with this is that European comics are printed at much larger sizes. You know, like the page space they have is much bigger. And so they can put more content per page. And so it is an interesting thing to think about. Like how do you compare 40 something pages of Asterix the Gaul comic to, you know, 180 pages of Naruto comics.
How much ink they use.
Like they have far fewer panels per page, far less text per page. And it's, sorry, I'm.
It's okay. I knew what I was doing, including some comics once.
Yeah.
But I wonder how much it has to do not only with the like length and the page count and like the amount of content, but also the kind of content, because a lot of single issues are parts of a story where if you're just reading, you know, X-Men number 14, whatever series it is at the time, then you're not getting a full story. Whereas in Tintin or in any number of European or French comics of the same length, you might be getting a self-contained story. 32 pages is also the standard length of like a children's picture book. And those are 100% books.
Also sometimes stapled.
Yeah.
True. Yes, absolutely. I mean, honestly, the other thing this makes me think of is about industry and marketing. And like, did they decide to call it a book when they went to sell it? And what does that do to how they market it and how they sell it and where they place it and how much they charge for it and all these kinds of things related to that? And how does that communicate to the consumer what they, what kind of experience they're going to have with that object and whether or not they should consider it a book and experience it as a book or not?
I might go with, for the answer for this one, it depends, similar to like a subscription magazine, because I think it is similar in a lot of ways where they, you know, frequently it is part of a whole. And I think sometimes, well, sometimes, not always, like single issues of comics are even less self-contained than like a single issue of a magazine. But there's definitely some cases where, yeah, that's a book. Like I have a special issue. I was just trying to think of a special issue that I have that I would consider a book. And I've got the Greg Universe, Steven Universe special issue, which is just like a collection of short stories about one character. Which, sure, that's a book. It depends. Yeah. The next one, hopefully a softball, is a trade paperback collection of comics a book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Is a volume of an academic journal a book?
Who even interacts with physical volumes of academic journals anymore?
We only pile them up to make Christmas trees around the holidays, really.
Nice. We actually made a snowman out of unwrapped printer paper blocks, like, you know, how they come wrapped in white paper. And then they took a you know how magazine, there are boxes for magazines that got put on top as the hat. And then, yeah, that was our holiday decoration at the library.
Sorry, I was just trying to find the most egregious example of single issue comics. And from what I can tell, Wolverine number 900 came out a few years ago, has over 100 pages and is stapled.
What?
Wow.
Wow. Those are some industrial strength staples.
Seriously? Yeah.
Like the box that my bicycle came in probably had staples as big as those.
So you're saying your bicycle is a book?
No, it was.
The box that my bicycle came in is a book. It had text on it.
Oh, but it was stapled, so it's not a book.
Oh, well, it's an edge case, right?
Yes, for
we,
sure.
We look askance at staples, but they're not like a complete no.
Some of those like bound academic journals, though, are like monsters of, like, they're huge things, and each thing within it is a supposedly complete thought, right? Like each article. So it's more like an anthology or collection. But it's just like a magazine, right?
Yeah, like I feel like when I said there were those exceptions for magazines, I feel like the same doesn't really apply to journals for some reason. But I could not tell you why.
Honestly, what this makes me think of actually is like, you know, Dickens, when all of his books were printed and like their little, you know, they came out in periodical format, right? In little collections, and like people were crazed for the next part of it. And then they got bound together. And like, so we talked about that being the point at which they become a book earlier in this conversation. But also, like, that doesn't exactly happen the same way for like academic journals.
I mean, in the sense that, like, physically, my brain thinks those are books because they're bound and have that same size, space, weight as books do. So, like, as objects, I think of them as books. As content, they're slightly different. But I'm not sure that that's enough to kick them out of the book circle.
I think the larger thing is, as was expressed earlier, like, they're not printed anymore.
Yeah.
True.
They aren't.
You know, so many academic journals are just digital only. I ran into one recently. And it was a problem with an article that I co-wrote was in a journal, and I couldn't access it. And the person at my work was like, "Oh yeah, we don't have that issue. That's like, we should have that issue, but we don't have that issue." And I'm like, "Issue? What?" I wasn't in an, and it was like, it was classified as an issue in the way that the system is set up to classify it. You know, it's like, oh, everything published in each month is designated as an issue. Even though, like, you know, maybe one article is published that month, or maybe, you know, you have one published on the 1st and one published on the 30th, 31st.
Yeah, they're really struggling to deal with this whole volume and issue thing in relation to how journals get published anymore and being online and how we cite them and everything like that. Like, it's a weird wild west of all the different ways people are doing that right now. But like, we don't, so we used to get, of course, at my library, as at many libraries, we got each month the newest issue of whatever journal. And then at the end of the year, we sent off them off to a binder, and we got them bound into booklets, into books. Like, they basically look like a book, right? But like, to me, the other thing I start thinking of is like, because we valued those in such a degree that we went out and got them bound because we think there's importance in the information that's inside them. Whereas we don't take your Highlights magazine that we talked earlier and consider that important enough to go send off all of our issues of that in the year and get them bound. So like, just because we decided that some content has some weight to it where other content does not, it gets to be permitted to become a book at some point.
What adds to the, like, some of these publishers knew their work was getting bound up like that. And so they would start issue one in January with page one, and then they would continue the page numbering through all the issues published that year. And so you pick up, like, you know, the November issue, and it's like, oh yeah, here's page 1,143. You know, because that's just how many pages they've published that year. And if you've ever come across an article that says, like, yeah, this is printed on page 1,000 something, you're just like, what is this horrible monstrosity? That's the reason why.
I think you've touched on an interesting issue of presumed ephemerality, Anna.
Yeah.
Like, our struggle over magazines and journal issues and bookishness versus, like, children's books, which are equally, you know, page count, small type of thing, is there is a sense that a lot of magazines and journals probably do just get tossed, as opposed to being collected and bound, as in this library example. And the bound part is where my brain says, book. It's got a binding.
I think that's a big one. It definitely, like, when I started thinking about what is a book, ephemerality is one of the first issues that started to pop into my brain about what does this mean in relation to ephemerality, and how ephemeral or permanent are books, and how does that relate to different objects that are more or less ephemeral than books? Because I will tell you, becoming a librarian has made me think of books as more ephemeral than I ever used to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good thing to consider as well. Like, what does ephemeral mean? How long does something have to last before it stops being ephemeral?
Yeah.
Everything is ephemeral. We'll turn to dust and to dust.
Okay, we got a little too far.
So what am I writing down for, is a volume of an academic journal a book? Is it another it depends? Is it just, should I just do question marks?
I can't answer this one because I'm still the person sitting here going, it's all a book.
It's all a book. I'm going to write Anna says it's a book. Okay. Is a zine a book?
No, but I want to define zine, or what is a zine in my mind. And I think that zine, like, to me, if it cannot be reproduced on a photocopier, it is not a zine. Which means that if it's perfect bound, it's not a zine in my mind. It's a small press book. And so I know people who have gone and they make their zines and they get popular enough, or they get long enough, and they start becoming perfect bound, and it stops being a zine to me at that point. The low tech nature of it is an inherent part of it in my mind. It doesn't have to be stapled, because people hold them together with elastic bands, or like sew them together, you know,
or just fold them.
Yeah. Cause you got like one page ones that are just folded together that are just one sheet of paper, and things like that. And so, yeah, but my definition of zine is not what other people would use as well.
Yeah. I think
but I'm
definition
right.
of zine Oh boy, I was gonna say, I think the definition of zine has shifted over the last decade or so, and people sort of use it in some cases to mean like any book that's not like published through a traditional publisher. And
I will fight those people.
Language is not allowed to change.
It's not that. It's that there are other terms you can use for those things. And that by calling those things zines, you're making zines seem less accessible to people that might want to make them. If you say, look at my zine, and you have a glossy full color art book that was printed through a publisher, people won't say, oh, I can make that myself. If you have only heard of zines and that's there for what you see when someone talks about zines, then you don't think it's something that's achievable. And that's something that I think is so important for zines, is that they are something that anybody can make with very little like money or resources or anything. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know what? Call it a self-published book, call it an art book. There's other terms that are out there. Why are you, in my mind, co-opting this term that has a meaning to mean something that makes it less accessible to people to make them themselves?
That's fair. I was, when I was looking over this list, I was thinking, well, zines are kind of like, you know, DIY magazines in a certain sense. And if I'm already thinking that magazines aren't books, then I don't think that zines are books. But now that we've talked about how everything might potentially be a book, if we start thinking about how these layers of like ephemerality and staples or whatever have corrupted my conception, then I think probably this could be a book.
Yeah.
There are some very long zines out there that are still just like chunked together and like self-made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have like beautiful risograph printed art books and comics that I would not classify as zines, even though they were, you know, produced and sold at zine fairs. Produced for and sold at zine fairs. One of the things that I've seen some zine events do is have a requirement relating to price of your work as well. And so it's like you have to have something that's $5 or less that you're selling. And if you're only selling things that are over $5, we're not accepting you as a person tabling it at this event, which is, I think, is that thing of like trying to keep the barrier to entry for both buying things, but also making it seem like something that you can make.
So in terms of like what you think of as traditional zines, excluding all of these like art book type things, do you think that the zines, as you think of as zines, now that you have defined it for us, are those books?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
Yeah, you hit on another, this is like comics and zines are two things that Matthew can have very long and very opinionated mm-hmm. discussions on exactly how you define them. And it's actually really interesting to unpack like the reasoning why, because a lot of it is not about, it's not about the object, it's about the culture around the object. Right. So I think that that's important too, in terms of our conversation around the book, just like the zine, just like the comic books, like all of those. It's about the culture around the object, not just the object itself.
And so like as comic can be a zine as well. So you can have like mini comics and stuff. And so like that a mini comic can be a zine, but it might also not be a zine depending on like the production values associated with it even, you know? And I think that's, and it's such a weird thing, and it's something that like probably no two people will agree on the same definition, but it is, like I said, I get very frustrated by people that try to claim that there are things with very high production values, and very high costs associated with high cost for sell, are zines, because I think that goes outside what zines are about and what zines are for. Anyway, I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well.
Yeah, that's all right. I think, yeah, this sort of came up as a conversation a couple of years ago, because there were a lot of people crowdfunding zines. Which, you know, on the one hand, often because they had a lot of contributors that they wanted to pay, but also because they wanted to create this sort of glossy, professional looking product. That is a different experience than, you know, making zines in your own home. For sure.
So what are we, like a third of a way through our question so far?
Yeah, I think we're like, so so yeah, I wrote probably not as defined for zines. Next one's easy. Is an ebook a book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which, can I know, is kind of funny to me, Megan, that you are immediately like, yes, because also you've been talking quite a bit about the object itself. So.
Well, see, this is like, I have two categories of things in which I'm using, which fall under book to me. And one of which is a physical one, which we've addressed quite a bit in this last little bit. And then I know we get into the content thing now, because form is different in the ebook. But in any effective conversation with a person, if you called an ebook a book, they would understand what you'd meant. And if you didn't call it either an ebook or a book, if you said, this electronic document that I've been reading, then you have confused the conversation.
Yeah. I find this actually interesting in relation to some of the like the online textbooks that I've been interacting with, especially the open education resources, because some of them include like videos and you really just click through them just like a website kind of document. Like they're not, they don't feel anything like even what we're used to as an ebook, like because we've gotten used to ebook as it was framed by the Kindle is basically the thing that defined what an ebook was. Mm-hmm. So we got used to that format and structure of what an ebook is. But then you interact with various things online that call themselves ebooks as well, that are like they have interactive components, they have videos in them, they have audio sections, they have like it's just so many different components going on in them.
And it's so annoying when you read an ebook and it's very clear that what they did was just took the text that's in the book and put it like direct, and there's no like adjustment for formatting for the tables that you put in. Like it looks like trash.
Yeah.
But it's an ebook now, I guess.
I guess.
The other thing is length. And this is something we see a lot of like ebooks up on online.
Self-publishing platforms.
Self-publishing stuff. And it's like, oh yeah, here's my ebook. And it's like 20 pages long. Mm-hmm. Or even when I did research, this conversation just reminded me of when I did a bunch of research during my MLIS, my library degree, by the history of ebooks. And everything is like, oh yeah, Project Gutenberg was the first ebooks. And the first thing Project Gutenberg created was the Declaration of Independence in the USA, which is not a book. That's a document. And so saying that's the first ebook, I'm like, that's like, how many words is that? That's not a book.
I mean, I also have that published in like a perfect bound format. So it can be a book.
Does it have annotations, notes?
It does. It also contains other documents too, I think.
Yeah. Well, like this was literally just the original document with no other information. I'm like, that's an e-text.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna cut us off on ebooks because we are almost at an hour and we are only a third through this list. Is an e-zine a book?
I don't know what an e-zine is. Is it just an email newsletter?
We can skip it. Yeah. Yeah. I should maybe update this. E-zine is a very like 90s term, I think. Is like a Substack newsletter a book?
No.
Oh dear.
I want to say no.
Okay.
Does it become one when they print it all off and bind it?
You can just say no. Email newsletter. You don't have to say Substack.
So, yeah, we don't have to brand it. Is a blog a book?
I think it can become a book, but when people make books out of their blogs, they often edit them and exclude and include things in a certain kind of way, which makes me feel like there is a transformation.
Mm.
In rough, it's kind of like Anna's example of the diary that she keeps in documents on a computer, in that if it were in any other form, we'd still think of it as a book.
Mm-hmm.
And that you don't have to do that kind of transformation to have the content considered a book. Right. So I'm going to say yes.
I like that arguing yourself around in the circle. Yeah. It's great. It's a perfect example of this conversation.
Question related to this is like, does a blog have to be nonfiction?
Mm, yeah.
Because you have people telling fiction in blog format as well. And so you can have, if like you set out to write a novel as blog posts.
So I have a question then too on that, because a blog is often not always, but for a lot of people, it's a way of more easily getting their thoughts out on, you know, out into the world where they can workshop those thoughts, or where they can get feedback on them, or just to have them out, right? But that that means they're often sort of in a less complete form than they might consider what they would want to publish as a book, right? So they might consider it the incomplete version, and the book is more the finalized, completed, like I took the editing. So like, how important is this like sense of I have edited and completed this? Like, is editing part of what makes a book a book?
Is an advanced reading copy a book?
Yeah, I'm going to put the emphasis on published rather than book in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if an example being the self-published route is that maybe they pay someone to do the editing and maybe they don't. And so the transformation that the content undergoes is towards the publishing aspect rather than towards the bookiness.
The book. Yeah. So like, is a manuscript that somebody is writing, the moment they say they're writing a manuscript for a book, it's a book.
Hmm. Mm. Magical.
As long as they've got more than 2 pages.
Okay. So. is a blog a book? I'm hearing like a maybe a probably kind of hesitant yes.
I think, yeah, it can be, but yes? It doesn't have to be.
Maybe.
your blog can have one post in it, you know? Like, that's not a book.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go, it depends. It depends has been our standby. Is an ARC a book?
An advanced reader copy, for those unfamiliar with the term. Which is the pre-final publication version of a book that is given out to reviewers and sometimes library people as well. Often digital versions of them as well. Although the digital versions are usually the final version, aren't they? I don't know.
Let's try to do the next few rapid fire. Is Wikipedia a book?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
I'm going to agree with that. Yeah, actually, like, encyclopedias are books, and just because it's in the online format.
Yeah, I think I said I was going to do this rapid fire. My only argument against, I'm going to add a question mark. My only argument against Wikipedia being a book is that it is not finalized. It is constantly being updated. And I think that is.
But you can see all the other versions.
Yeah, that's true. They're just different versions.
You can download it?
You can download all of Wikipedia. Yeah, it's a lot. It is. That's true. Yeah, that it is just different versions of the same book. Is a Twitter profile a book?
No.
No.
I mean, you could have a story.
Does Anna think yes?
This is one I might agree that this is probably not a book, although it would be fascinating to watch somebody turn their Twitter profile over time into a book. So, like, can the temporal aspect slowly turn it into a book as you, like, update it to create a narrative over time? And if you just check back in every single day, you slowly experience a narrative?
Listen, I'm hearing, like, metaphors about life being a book right now. I'm not ready to go there.
I'm leaning towards that this may be the one instance where I agree with y'all that, like, no, probably not a book.
So there is a book by from Instar Books titled At Every Word, The Book, which is from 2007 to 2014. The Twitter account At Every Word painstakingly tweeted every word in the English language to thousands of riveted followers, containing all 109,157 words from the original run of the account, along with accurate counts of the number of each times each word was favorited and retweeted. Every word, the book provides an accelerated director's cut experience of the English language.
Great.
As well as, but there is some writing from the owner of the account about, like, the methods and why they did this thing. So,
yeah. So I do think it's interesting to think of, like, the difference between the Twitter content and the Twitter profile.
Oh my gosh, by profile, I thought you just meant the bio.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I meant like a person's Twitter account. So
yeah,
like,
okay.
Okay.
I'll change profile to account.
I think that's a less strident no.
Yeah. Now I'm back on the can be a book.
It could be if someone has the intent to tell a story and you could conceivably, you know, print them all out and find it somehow, like the interactions and all that kind of thing. I think it could be.
Okay. I've crossed out no and written maybe.
I still like the idea of somebody taking their profile and turning it into the same sort of thing.
Is a dissertation a book?
Yes.
Yeah.
What about a thesis?
I don't know what the difference is.
I don't know what the difference is either.
Generally, mostly length. Dissertations are usually have chapters, and they're like actually like basically book length. They are books. They just haven't been published as such. And a thesis is generally not quite the same. Generally, not quite the same length and volume.
It depends on country and it depends on discipline.
Is an audiobook a book?
Yes. Well, yes.
Yes, well, yes.
Well, like, it's like you have, like, is an audiobook of a short story a book? If it's just one short story.
Is that an audio? Is that an audiobook even, or is that just an audio?
What do you call it? An audio?
An audio. What about a podcast then?
What about an audio play?
Are we actually writing a book?
Oh my gosh, it's a terrible book. It's a very bad book.
We're going to get to that later in this list, I think.
Oh, is that why we stopped the transcripts?
Oh no, we stopped the transcripts because I am too lazy, mostly. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Do we want to go into that one next?
Is a podcast a book? Or is a podcast transcript a book? Are we skipping ahead?
I guess both of them. Is a podcast a book, and then is a podcast transcript a book? Because I did a word count on one of our transcripts. And it was almost 13,000 words.
Okay, but how many of them were like,
Yeah.
How many times were me saying like?
Well, let me just pull it up and find out.
Oh, please don't. Please don't control it.
Repeating the same words twice in a row or three times in a row. Yeah. Yep.
We used the word like 321 times in this.
Sure. I assume most of those are me. I'm not skipping ahead. No, we're still on audio. Is a conceptual music album which tells a story a book?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with no on this one.
Who even listens to albums anymore? Oh, I guess you do, RJ, since you have records.
I do. I bought a record player. Is the original cast recording of a musical a book?
This comes back to the, like, do they mean it to be a little bit to me? And the, like, how we culturally agree to experience this thing. We culturally agree to experience it as a theatrical experience. Mm-hmm. But, like, so then to me, what's more interesting is because we will print plays, right? So what about the musical notations of that? Mm-hmm. Not the recording of it that we listen to. But if you write it all out as the play and publish that, is that a book?
That's going to have stage directions and things, though, that are not going to be in the audio.
Not necessarily.
True. I guess it doesn't necessarily have that. Not all play scripts have those. A cast recording might not contain the full content of the musical.
That's a better point, because I was thinking of comparing it to like the audiobooks, which have full cast recordings. So like you have different voice actors for different characters and stuff like that.
Right.
So even sound effects, I think, too. It's not the kind of thing I go for, but I know that it's within the realm of possibility. So I think in terms of like effectiveness in communication, it's not a book, but I think it falls within the gradient of storytelling and captured storytelling, because it's a recording, and so it's set in, not stone per se, but fixed.
You know what kind of is interesting to me about this conversation is I'm having this weird experience where I'm like, are we overclaiming things as books because we are book people, that people as music people would actually be like, stop claiming our music things as books. We want to claim your books as music.
Yeah, they'd be like, actually, audiobooks are music, so fuck you.
Yes, exactly.
They're just very boring, long music.
Very monotoned and like, yeah, underproduced.
I think it's interesting that we've had a little bit of back and forth about like the recording of a musical, but we like a conceptual music album, we were right away like, no.
Yeah.
No words.
You can have words. You can have words in a conceptual music album, for sure. You can have lyrics. You also don't need words in a book is the other thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we have said that. Dang it. Painted ourselves into corners.
I would argue that a recording of a musical, you're missing an element of the story, which is like the physical presence of the actors, whereas a music album, you are consuming it in its intended format. And it's if it's, you know, conveying some kind of narrative, is that just like a very creative audiobook?
But if you're talking about intended format...
This is going to be the worst one for you to edit, Matthew, because we've got all of us talking over each other.
Yeah, we've got a lot of talking over each other. We've got a lot of stops and starts, and we are like halfway through the questions. I'm starting to wonder if we should split this into two episodes.
I think we're going to stop soon.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Intended format, that means like a play script is not a book then, because a play script is not how the play is intended to be consumed. But also, I realized a while ago that sometimes I like if I'm listening to a webinar or something... like a pre-recorded webinar, I'll just play music at the same time and make the world's most boring remixes of the of like the electronic music song, except with people talking about like data over top of it.
I've got to think about when I do things like that. I need to start thinking about them as remixes too, because that makes it sound way more interesting than it is. All right, so we've reached the stage where the universe is a book.
Everything's a book.
So maybe we take a pause, mentally unpack. And next time, come back and work on de-universifying the book.
Yes. We've got some no's in here. We do have some no's. not everything is a book. I will say, yeah, I think I'll save some of these. We can do this again if listeners really liked it. If they really hated it, then maybe we won't. But if you want to hear us talk about if a video game is a book, then let us know and we'll talk about that next time. If you have other things to submit that you want to know if they're books or not, please submit them. We've got a bunch more. I kind of want to do one more that Megan submitted, because I think it is one of the more creative ones. You go into a museum, an animatronic guide tells you a story. You leave the museum and come back, the animatronic guide tells you the same story. Is this a book?
Find out next time on Book Club for Masochists.
Maybe we could ask our audience that one, actually.
Yeah, we'll leave that one open to you. Is that a book?
Is that a book, audience? And also... do you have other examples that you would like us to debate? And we don't, I don't know, in terms of our group, we can decide if we want to come back to this actually the next time we do a non-genre episode, or if we want to wait and come back in like 6 months and re-unpack this. Because that could be kind of fun, because we could have a lot of interesting experiences and conversations and cooking on this between now and then.
The next 6 months is just us wandering around, picking up random objects and going, is this a book?
Is this a book? Is this a book?
This mug has text on it. Is this a book?
Except Megan, for like at least 50% of us wandering around in our apartments picking up things that are books, more than likely 50% of the time it's going to be a book.
Yeah. Most of the things in our apartments are books.
Seriously, by like sheer number of objects, I actually think I may be like majority books in my apartment.
Okay, did anyone have any like wrap up thoughts, any reflections that this episode has have given you before we go into the outro?
I'm very sorry to all of our listeners.
I think they'll enjoy laughing at us.
Yeah. I hope it's a fun one.
I'm enjoying the thought experiment of who might object to our defining their particular thing as a book.
Yeah.
I'm just really amused at people trying to like ban books in schools and then just coming back with the argument like, but that's not a book at all.
Yeah, we're going to take all those banned books and we're just going to like put them on scrolls, and we're going to put them on like like tablets. We're going to put them on like
giant posters.
Giant posters. We're going to put them on like on mugs. We'll have a series of mugs.
Yeah. I was going to say print them small on t-shirts and then just like everyone in your class like wear a different part of the book and can go around and.
Oh, yeah, totally. You can't ban clothing.
Yeah.
So like.
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing?
I think we broke Matthew. I think that means we're done.
I think that also means this was probably a good episode, actually. I feel like whenever one of us breaks, the listeners enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Book Club for Masochists. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and YouTube.
There's one thing that's missing right there is Spotify. This will be the last episode that will be available on Spotify. We explain why. For a variety of reasons. You can go and look it up yourself, honestly. But we will no longer be on Spotify after this episode.
If you like the show, subscribe so you never miss an episode. And consider giving us a positive rating and or review, because that's how you show love to podcasters. If you've already done that, thank you.
For all our URLs and social media accounts, the four in our name is a numeral. You can go to our website at bookclub4m.com, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/bookclub4m, and find us on Twitter and on Instagram at bookclub4m. Our email address is, unsurprisingly, bookclub4m@gmail.com.
On our website, you can find show notes that will provide links to things we mentioned, social media info for everyone who appeared on this episode, and our genre-based book lists of titles by authors of color.
You can also suggest a genre or title for us to read, or request a recommendation from us. We have a form you can fill out on our website. No promises on reading your suggestion, but we will give you a recommendation, including the person that requested one last month that we haven't gotten to yet, but we are working on it.
All opinions are our own and do not reflect our places of employment, if they exist.
Our theme music is To Arrakis by Dark Sun from the Free Music Archive, which we will have to debate about whether or not that's a book.
Oh no, oh no.
It's an archive. New episodes are the first and third Tuesday of every month.
Join us again on Tuesday, March 1st, when we'll be discussing the genre of anthropology nonfiction.
Then on Tuesday, March 15th, we'll be talking about bookish food and or drink. Mixing food, drinks, books, fun times. Don't eat the books. Unless they're made to be eaten.
If it's made to be eaten, is it a book?
If it is printed on fruit roll-up, is it a book?
We're all broken at this point. Perfect timing. I can hear the ice cream guy going by the ice cream truck.
In February.
Yeah, all year round. All year round here. They don't stop.
Wow.
Yeah, no. All year round. Ice cream trucks.
Okay, like, what's the first tier? Like, are there more than, like, four first-tier Pokemon? I'm going to edit this out. Doesn't matter.
Oh, very good. Okay, I'm going to hit stop.
This report shares the results of a spring 2018 survey of 35 academic libraries in the United States in regard to the Research Data Services, RDS, they offer. An executive summary presents key findings, while the results section provides detailed information on the answers to specific survey questions related to data repositories, metadata, workshops, and policies.